Betty, you want to pray for us?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
I've got one written down here that I've been working on.
So there you go.
Why not? I'm going to read it.
Perfect.
I'm all about uplifting the body of Christ. So
praise the Lord.
I thought this would be a good idea.
You can sit there.
Don't wait for them, Betty. Go ahead and pray.
Yes.
Don't wait for them.
Lord, thank you that we are your children because you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are our Heavenly Father forever. Thank you, Lord, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, our counselor, teacher of truth. I ask you to give us direction and wisdom in this life to live for you and for your glory. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross so that we can now live in true freedom and forgiveness in you. Thank you, Lord, that you surround us with protection, favor, and grace. Help us to continue to trust in you as you fight our battles each and every day. Lord, thank you that through your blood we are made pure and clean. You have set us apart for your righteous purpose. Help us to live out the calling and purpose for which you have placed us on earth. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your holy word that is a light for our feet. You have given us light, life, and freedom in the light of your love. Thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed by your blood. Now we can walk in right standing with you and can live a pure and righteous life before you. Help us spread the truth of your gospel that others may come to you and know you and be redeemed by your love. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness we have in you, and your love for us will never be shaken. You will always be with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are alive in you. We no longer live for ourselves, but truly live for you. Help us to continually trust in you every day and walk in faith. Thank you, Lord, that we are heirs of God because you gave us the right of adoption. Amen. Help us to remember that all of your spiritual blessings are ours, our inheritance. Help us to claim your promise. Thank you, Lord, that through you we are filled with your fruit of righteousness, peace, love, joy, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, kindness, and self-control. Help us to walk according to your Holy Spirit each day and overflow with these fruits. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a solid place to stand and that we can continue to be rooted and grounded in your love that will never fail. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us to be part of your family. Help us to pray for those around us that they may also be included in the wonderful family of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to lay down our old way of living and to walk in your new life each day. We no longer live in our own strength, but you live within us. Thank you, Lord, for reconciling us to God through your sacrifice and resurrection. We now have access to your throne of grace. Our relationship is restored and we can live with you forever and eternity. We can be firm and secure like a tree planted by streams of living water. We can then provide shade and refreshments to those around us. Knowing our identity is rooted in God's word, and we can then fulfill the purpose for which we was created with power and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, on that note, we'll fellowship until the next hour. That's pretty much this lesson and next lesson together. Yeah, problem solved. I love it.
I wanted something that would build us all up, and we're working on knowing our identity in Christ.
Yes.
And so I thought if it's stated, you know, to the congregation, it'll help.
Absolutely. And that's one thing we'll talk about in our business meeting and our vision meeting. So keep that prayer and keep praying that prayer because that's really going to help propel us in this next year on some thoughts that we're praying about. So awesome job, girl.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. And we're going to be reminded of some of those things. This is for next hour, but It'll go right over. Perfect. Let it give me a softball here. All right, so we're back into the church at Corinth and going over, again, basic Bible doctrines, right? At the end of the day, what really matters? Now, I say that kind of loosely because obviously everything matters, okay? But when things are repeated, our brains love repetition. Our brains, neurologically, love repetition. So you're going to see several things repeated in the epistles, in Peter's writings, in James's writings, right? You're going to see it repeated. So we're going to take those things that are repeated, and we're going to go over them, and we're going to see, hey, at the end of the day, if the believers in Christ at Corinth, at Ephesus, at Philippi, the 12 tribes of Israel, when James was written, the Hebrews that are born again, to the Hebrew audience in the book of Hebrews, if they grasp these handful of truths, a byproduct is this behavior and this outcome, right? A lot of times what can happen, maybe not so much for this group, but for younger believers in Christ, we'll be focusing a lot on helping others this year, okay? When we're helping a young believer in Christ, they look at the Bible, and every verse, every chapter seems like something new. It seems like information. And then they go, well, what do I do with all this stuff? Well, there really isn't a whole lot of stuff. You're looking at it as words from left to right and black words on a white piece of paper. So your brain thinks right now, untrained, is this is a lot of stuff. When no, you'll notice there are a handful of themes. That takes someone mature to find that, right? It takes someone mature to see, okay, here are the themes. So when I'm reading my Bible, it's with a purpose. There's meaning behind my Bible reading other than this is what I'm supposed to do, right? So this year, what we did last year will not work for this year. So if I have good habits, I have to increase every good habit by 1%. Every one, I have to increase. Okay, I have to increase. Everything I do has to go at least up by 1%, everything.
That
now, go ahead.
Doesn't seem like enough.
It would surprise you though, 1% of everything that we do collectively is a lot. Mm-hmm. And we'll go over that stuff. So we went over some of the common themes we've seen. We've seen in the main focus at Corinth was the day of the Lord, right? Rapture, judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to get caught up in when that's going to be. Okay, but we talked about last week. Doesn't matter if it's before tribulation, pre-trib, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation. The timing does not matter. Who cares when the rapture is? Who cares? Because what's being taught with the rapture theme is you're going to be judged. So whether you get raptured before the 7 years, whether you get raptured in the middle of 3.5 years, or whether you get raptured post-tribulation after the 7 years, either way, you will be raptured or you will die, and you're going to be judged. And you'll be judged on your works, right? You've been given something. So I'm going to be judged according to 1 Corinthians on how did I lay on the foundation of Jesus Christ. How did I lay on that? Wood, hay, stubble, okay? Maybe wrong motives or not focused with the right heart or whatever the case may be, manipulation, whatever. That's going to burn, right? Or did I add gold, silver, precious jewels? You know, right heart, right motive. I might not know a whole lot about scripture or truths, but my heart is right with the Lord. I love Him. I'm doing the best I can with what I know. That, when it's burned, will have gold, silver, precious stone. Right? So we look to the day of the Lord. We're going to be raptured either way. We're going to be judged. There's going to be a judgment for the body of believers. Not to be cast into a lake of fire and hell. That was paid for. But motives and our works. We looked at the Holy Spirit being in us last week, all right? That's a common theme in Paul's letters, common doctrine. Hey, the Holy Spirit's in you. How did he get in you? When you receive Christ by faith, what is given to you is the Holy Spirit. So we say Christ is in us, true. Holy Spirit is in us, true. God is in us, true, right? People struggle with the Trinity, the three in one. Let's just take a back step. Okay, don't try and figure out how they're all connected, but we do know they're all God. We do know they're all God. So how you work that out or struggle with that, okay, fine. But at the end of the day, take a step back and go, all three are God. Okay? So they're all three in me, what's in me and my substance is the Holy Spirit. Okay, sealed in us. Now we're going to go to purpose while living. Okay, purpose while living. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's go to verse 20. Got me all fired up, Betty. Holy smokes. I'm ready to go.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians. Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You were bought with a price. Therefore, so the reasons above, moving forward, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. At the end of the day, you're bought with a price. So, what am I to do with that? The big picture is my heart is focused on bringing glory to the Father. Okay. Now that spirit there isn't Holy Spirit. That spirit is kind of like the vibe I'm putting off, my actions, my attitude, my aura, if you will. I'm glorifying God in my presence, right? You can tell when you walk into a room what kind of presence someone has. Okay? It's something that if someone's not even born again, but they have that lowercase spirit, a soul, right? A presence about them when they walk into a room. So we're to glorify God. The Corinthians were told, hey, all the things that I've corrected you on from chapters 1 through 6 now, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. We'll look at one more verse. Chapter 10, verse 31. And to kind of give some background, we're going over a brother stumbling with foods, what to eat, what not to eat, how do I know what to eat, when do I not offend my brother, you know, this whole process of food eating, which we deal with a little bit today, but is really more prevalent at Corinth. But here at chapter 10, verse 30, it says, wait, did I say 10:30 or 31? 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. Okay, so whatever you do, okay, and this is contextually with foods, what to eat, what not to eat, okay? Contextually, causing brother to stumble, to be offensive, not be offensive. Hey, whatever you do at the end of the day, what's the heart focus? Glorify God. This process in our minds of glorifying God usually comes with a cost to me and my flesh. I think John the Baptist said it well. He must increase and I must decrease. There's a must there, not should. A young believer in Christ who's immature says, I should read my Bible. I should pray. I should come to church. I should be nice. I should. But I think John the Baptist was a little more mature than that when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. So glorifying God, recognizes the big picture. I am bought with a price. Whatever I do in my life, purpose for a living, right? Purpose. Not mission, they're two different things, right? Purpose comes from who I want to be. Who I want to be. That's where purpose comes from. And so I start living out and putting things in place. It's going to be for next hour also, okay? So I start putting daily habits in place. If I misspelled words, please let me know. So it just stays to this group here, which I know doesn't judge me for my misspelling. Who do you want to be? What daily habits am I doing to reinforce who I want to be? I need to be someone who glorifies God. I need to be that person. I need to be that person. Okay? He must increase and I must decrease. When I glorify God, that comes with me having to yield to the Spirit and saying no to the flesh. Okay? Because a lot of times when you glorify God, a lot of times it's saying, I can do this, and it's probably true and correct and right. But just because I can doesn't mean that I should. I'm thinking about my brother in context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not going to eat meat that this my Jewish friend struggles with me eating. Right? Why? It doesn't matter. I'm okay. I can eat beef. He's okay with beef. I'm okay with beef. I don't have to have a ham for our meal. Right? Someone I'm trying to be friends with brings me over to their house. They have beef, and I know they have a background in idol worship. I don't want to be offensive and say, hey, was this meat offered to idols? No, they're being nice, offering me over to their house to eat beef. And by the way, the beef that Dave has had has been fantastic.
No idols involved.
Okay. I wasn't going to ask. I don't care. Just give me the food.
Just a lot of grain.
Yeah, there you go. So, now, if the person says on their own, hey, just so you know, this was offered to idols, now you have the way to say, hey, you know what? I'm working on not eating that kind of meat. Please don't be offended. I don't want to eat with you telling that information now. If they offer the information, I have an out now. But if they don't give the information, why? Because I want to glorify God, right? I don't need to cause a problem. I don't need to try and create a problem. Have you ever been around someone who just creates problems? Like, and the things they're talking about are good things, but it's like, did you have to say that? Now you just disrupted the whole, you know, conversation or the area that we're at. I'm going to be here for the next 8 hours, so I wish you wouldn't have said that. Holy smokes. So, purpose while living, glorify God in our body and our spirit. Okay? Glorify God in my mind, my will, and my emotions. My disposition. That's the spirit there. The spirit in the Greek, there in the first verse we went over, is my disposition. Okay? How I hold myself. How I present myself. Okay? So the Corinthians were told to do that. We see that in Philippians, in Ephesians, we see that in Colossians, right? That theme that Paul has is in all of his writings. Peter, in 1st and 2nd Peter, he has those same teachings, right? Glorifying God. That's my purpose for living. All right, any thoughts on that before we move on to the next one? Any thoughts on glorifying God? Their purpose in life. And we can apply it to our lives also. We can apply this principle to us. Yeah. My purpose is to glorify God. Good.
So this is really interesting how you presented it. So if my heart is right before the Lord, there's things the Bible doesn't say yea or nay, whether we can do or not, but if my heart's right before the Lord, it's okay. But as opposed to like having a list of things I should do or shouldn't do, we don't want to think that way. We just want to think heart right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, correct. Yep. And you'll notice, as I start practicing this, and as my behavior reflects my true identity, as I start doing this, I'll find myself more and more not wanting to prove my point. My mind goes away from right and wrong. Right? My mind goes away from that. And I might look for ways to teach something right, but it happens supernaturally. It comes across in a loving spirit, right? Because I'm not trying to, boom, come across. Like here at Corinth, this is right, this is wrong. There's a lot of black and white at Corinth, right? There's a lot of fighting amongst themselves. okay? I'm right, we're with this group. No, we're right because we're with this group. And it's less about being right and wrong and more about, hey, I'm going to concede this, what they're saying, and maybe as I'm talking to them, or maybe as we're eating together, as our relationship grows, I can address this later. I can address this later. Yes, Julie, more about the heart. Yep, more about the heart. We also see as a common theme, a common doctrine, serving others. Serving others. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 19. So these are doctrines that are practical, that are not heavy theological. A lot of times when believers in Christ think of doctrines, they go heavy theology. That's not heavy theology. Most doctrine is light and more behavioral based, more action based, okay? More heart issue based. Okay, so here at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win even more. Okay, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews, to those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law, to those who are outside of the law as outside the law, being not without God's law but under Christ's law, that I may win those who are outside the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might partake of it with you. All right? So serving others. Serving others, and if we want to skip on down to verse 22. 9:22. Oh, we already read it. And we'll see it more in gift giving coming up, my other notes that I have with unity. Serving others, again, is active, right? So my flesh wants to defend what's comfortable. Because to serve others means I have to actually go out of my way to help, right? I have to. Whether it's even here in the body, we're already all coming here. So while we're all here, let's look to see how I can serve each other, right? So if someone needs physical help, yeah, my flesh goes through my calendar. And I think to myself, okay, I'll try and squeeze you in here, right? And we all have busy schedules. We all have busy calendars. But we got to figure out, how can I get it done as soon as possible, right? How can I get my serving my fellow believer in Christ done as soon as possible? I got to fight the flesh on that, right? Because my knee-jerk reaction is going to be, well, how is this going to interrupt me? How is this going to, because if we don't train our brains properly, we become creatures of habit. And as long as they're good habits and we're increasing, that's good. But a lot of times we go, well, I don't have time. No, everyone has the same amount of time. It's what you do with your time. Right? We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Serving others requires energy, right? Serving others requires energy. Serving others requires me might have to be uncomfortable to benefit someone else. That's what I'm using wrestling for. We use wrestling to teach a life lesson. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be tired. Even while you're exhausted and tired, you have to think, how can I still be a good teammate? If you go out there and you lose a match, you have no right to be upset and take it out on a teammate that says, when you sit down, hey, can you pass me a Gatorade? No, get it yourself. Who do you think you are to be a bad teammate like that? You're uncomfortable, but you have to be mentally tough to say, hey, I lost that match because I did certain things on my own. It's not his fault that I lost. I'm not angry at him. He's just asking for a Gatorade. I'm going to be kind through a tough circumstance to give him the Gatorade. Hey, I lost. does not give me the right to be a bad teammate and encourage others to do well. Right? I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, I'm catching my breath, and my friend says, hey, can you come watch me wrestle, or can you look at this for me? No, figure it out yourself. Or no, I'm tired, I just lost, I'm gonna go sit down. No. Just because you're exhausted does not give you the right to be a bad teammate. Because who you are is a good teammate. So act like it. A believer in Christ. I'm not feeling too well. I have a head cold. But my friend needs help raising some poles for their pole barn. Hey, go help them. But I have a head cold. Yeah, serving others is going to require you to serve while you're sick. In the military, in time of war, there are no sick days. You can't call in sick to work. Can't call in sick. You're at war with the enemy. Your brother or sister in Christ who's asking for something to get done and for help is not your enemy. But in your flesh, when you're uncomfortable, you think, no, because I'm uncomfortable, because I'm not doing too good, because I'm me, me, me. I was talking the other day with some kids, having some mental toughness, mental fortitude, and reinforcing the idea that, yes, things are tough right now. But you have to think beyond your nose. You have to think big picture. You have to think, I still have stuff to do. I have to have the wherewithal to be helpful when I'm tired, when I'm uncomfortable. Right? Basic life skills, isn't it? Hey, you had a physical day at work. You can't call and sit the next day to work. Yeah, you just framed up, you know, a 2,000 square foot wall. Do the other 2,000 tomorrow. Like, let's have some mental toughness. I think about with the church also, right? Yeah, you're not doing too good. Have some mental toughness. Get out there and help your sister in Christ. Help your brother in Christ. It's so funny. I hear all these old men at tables talking about how the next generation is so weak, and yet I ask them for some spiritual help, and you know what they tell me? Oh, I'm busy. I got this and I got that, and okay. But the millennials have the problem. Who are they learning from? Who are they learning from? These believers in Christ needed some help, right, at Corinth. They were focused on me, 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 me. And Paul says, no more. The Christ in me and the Christ in you connects us to where we serve each other. When we're uncomfortable, when my life circumstance is rough, when things aren't going well in my flesh. Yeah, the ministry still goes on. Paul was stoned, thought to be dead. The dude dusts himself off and goes to the next town, literally the next day preaches the gospel. And I can't have a head cold and go help my friend put up two poles for a pole bar. Y'all doing okay? You see where we're going this next year? We're going the commitment route this year. We're committed. We learned a lot of great things last year. Now it's time to put them into practice. And that practice is going to come with tough circumstances. So we have to be ready when I don't feel good, my muscles are sore, things aren't going well, I'm broke, I have no money, my family has issues. Yep. Now what? The kingdom work still goes on, right? I mean, can you imagine hearing this from Jesus? Hey, no person's fit for the kingdom if putting their hand to the plow looking back. You remember, that's the language he uses. Let the dead bury their dead. I mean, it sounds tough, doesn't it? But now, he's for burying your dead, right? He's not hardcore like, don't do it. But it's the heart. So at Corinth, the heart was all about me and what I want and how I view worldly wisdom. And I'm with Paul's group, and Paul's group does things this way, and we're right and you're wrong. A mindset that puts itself in a group and doesn't have unity, that mindset will say, they're the enemy. They're the enemy. They're the wrong ones. It's amazing. Blows me away. Nobody here, but I've had people in my office for, I don't have to use this term, but for marriage counseling. I'm talking about their marriage with them, and I'm saying, hey, good news, guys, this is sin. I'm like, wait, what? How's that good news? Because Christ dealt with sin. That's the good news. It's not good that you're sinning, but Christ dealt with sin. This is great. It's sinful. We're good. Christ dealt with sin. You're both born again. Hey, we can get through this. This is how. A, B, C, D, F, G. Well, I don't like that plan. I know, but if you just try it for like 6 months to a year, let's just see where we're at. Well, that's too long. Our problems are now. How long have you been married? 25 years. Okay. So it took 25 years to get here. Let's give God at least a year before we bail out on him. Well, why are you saying this? And who are you? I'm not the enemy, my man. Like, you're here because you have problems. There's no problem between you and me. Like, we're good, bro. Like, we're on the same page. I'm with you. I'm laying out a Christ-honoring plan that, yes, puts you last as the head of your house. You're last. No more serving you. No more you being in charge. No more you doing what you want, how you want. You have to now serve your wife with nothing in return. Kind of like Jesus. Unconditional love. Whether she changes or not. What do you want? I want a good marriage. How about you have a good walk with the Lord first? Let's get our walk with the Lord straight, and let's just see what that does as a byproduct in our marriage. I don't have time for that. Okay, I think we're done now, because I laid it out for you. I heard you out. I gave you the plan. You don't want to accept it. You got it. Okay. I'll be praying for you. Go ahead, Joe.
So, an interesting thought's occurring to me throughout your entire study this morning, and that is, what do you do or how do you approach either an individual believer or a body of believers that are in that place, like the Corinthians, but are getting things right that make it look like their intent is right, even though their intent isn't? Does that make sense?
Nope. Try again. Okay. I want to learn. I want to hear what you're saying, though.
So, like the last thing you said specifically about marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Your advice of saying, now you're going to serve your wife with nothing expected in return. It sounds very similar to the movie Firework, which is not actually a good movie in terms of marital advice. The advice you just gave is good, though. They sound and look similar, but because intent is off, even though intent looks like it's right with one, it's not actually. And even though the people of that might think their intent is right, but really there's a deeper issue where they're deluding themselves into not seeing the real intent behind themselves. They're living behind a lie that they're telling themselves, essentially. They are living for Christ when really they're living for themselves. Mm-hmm. Or that they're living for a Christ that isn't the Christ of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So how would you approach a situation like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. My thought process is if your heart, going back to what we talked about with Julie, if my heart is right with the Lord, there are many systems to get a good, to get a Christ-honoring result. So the system isn't the end-all, be-all. It's my heart following that system. Because the Lord will look over verses being taken out of context to win someone to Christ. I've used Old Testament verses, and people have been saved. But my heart was, Lord, I want this person to receive Christ. So depending on the system, but overall, I think it's less about the system they're following and more about my heart with the Lord using this as a guide. Does that kind of help?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm still missing the disconnect where how do you help, I guess, an individual or body of believers to realize their own delusion?
That specifically, you can't.
Okay.
You can present the truth in love. And my personal opinion, we can debate this. My personal opinion, when truth is given in love in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit convicts them right away on it and says, yes, you need to change that. Now, what they do with that truth, you can't convince, you can't force a behavior. I think Dennis talks about you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
You know, okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Leave it to a cowboy to give me a reference there.
There's a lot of timing involved. Yeah. Some people are not ready for certain information. They're, you know, maybe too involved in, or too upset or too emotional about something. So timing is important when you're dealing with people and what you try to say. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty profound things you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I think the Holy Spirit's always ready. But you have a wrong priority. Mm-hmm. So it's a different perspective that I'm telling you. So when we say someone's not ready, no, the Lord is always ready in them to obey. The Lord's always ready in them to commit to Christ. The Lord's always ready. Now, how I translate that is up to me. So what I do with the information, I filter God's truth through priorities. Through what I'm going through right now. So my flesh isn't ready, but my spirit is. So then they come to a place in their flesh where they go, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm ready. My flesh.
So if you engage, you know, if there's a guy that you recognize has road rage, you know, to tell him, disabled, Jesus wouldn't want you to be angry. You know, that might not be the right course of action, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You might want to diffuse the situation and, you know, maybe the guy was a really good guy and he had something else happen. I had a situation happen like that to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was angry and I said, I'm just not going to, you know, I'm just going to go along with it. And it turned out, I found out the person that I was angry with just had a ugly divorce. So I'm glad I just, you know, but I'm just saying that was me, but you know, you'll run into angry people, you know. And so what's the proper course of action?
Good job, Barry. Excellent. This is awesome, guys. Anger, the fruit that you see is not the issue. So you did the right thing by not addressing the fruit of anger with an anger solution. Anger isn't the problem. It's below that's causing that fruit that's a problem. Bitterness, right? Unforgiveness, resentment, envy, right? That causes anger.
A lot of it's inability to see the big picture. That's what it was with me. I didn't know why she was behaving that way. When I found out, then I had empathy.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Right. Exactly. So good job. We don't address the fruit. The fruit is a byproduct of a deeper issue. So her solution would be forgiveness. Her solution would be how to not have bitterness, allowing someone else's sin to control her emotions. Right? And the fruit of that outcome would be no road rage. So I don't believe in anger management. There's no such thing as that. But we can deal with sins forgiven. Alright? We can deal with sins forgiven. So, good job, guys. So purpose while living is a main doctrine purpose while living is a main doctrine that Paul teaches, and then serving others, right? So that, and pretty much all of Paul's letters, serving others. But we, so what I'm trying to do this year is be a lot more practical. I'm gonna try and be more like, okay, here's what it's saying, here's how we do it, right? Here's, I'm gonna do more of how we do it. I'm a big context guy, so I have to just teach, hey, here's what the context saying, it's on you now. And I think I wanna do more guiding this year, more like, hey, here are some situations. Now there are billions of scenarios. Now, between Dennis and Dave, we could probably come up with a great number on how many scenarios for each specific one, but I might just start with three most common, right? Hey, three most common scenarios. Hey, in serving others, it is God's desire that we serve others. It's even a desire in me. I can desire that. Okay, but what daily habits am I doing to achieve that? One of them has to be, if, and this might not even be you, but to teach someone else, is hey, when you hear someone ask for help, don't figure out how to put them off till later. Figure out how can I get you in soon, right? Now this might not be you. You might not be a person that puts them off, but there are a lot of believers that do, as you probably know, right? Don't put it off till later. You figure out how you can fit it in your schedule now. And if you can't, let's let them know. Hey, I'm busy till Saturday, but I will do it Saturday, right? I'll be there Saturday. I want to do it, you know? Or if something changes, hey, this meeting got canceled, or I don't have this appointment anymore, can I come now? Even if they say no, you're showing, hey, I do want to serve you. Right, I do want to serve you. That's just one example. Serving others is massive. In church, where people come in, right? Hey, yeah, a visitor comes in, I'm going to talk to him. Or I know, hey, you know, maybe Sherry's been sticking out of church for a while. Hey, Sherry, you know, I know you've been down and out, you know, now that you're here, you know, is there anything I can do for you? How can I encourage you? That's just one example. Again, there are a billion ways to serve someone in the body, to build the body up, but that's just one example, right? I'll probably repeat that statement a lot this month, just so it's clear that I'm not just saying this is the only example. So translate as you will and say, hey, I know what Pastor Jesse's saying, but here's how God's speaking to me about this. Right, here's how God's speaking to me, and use your scenario that God's speaking to you about. All right, next week we'll look at unity. We'll look at love. Great chapter on love there in 13 with the body. And we'll look at a financial offering. And we see a lot of financial giving and offering a lot in Paul and Peter's letters. All right, Don, will you pray for us?
Father, we are so grateful for the scriptures that we've heard today and the word that you have given to us through Paul. And we just pray that you will help us to apply these to our lives in our own individual circumstances. Help us to be more more loving, more like you. And we just thank you for the words that Jesse has shared with us today. And help us in this next hour to appreciate what you've done for us and the life that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.